Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Tom Giordano Show. We have with us next a guy that we have great guests in the past. Former New York Times reporter, I think 1999 to 2010. Pretty long tenure there. He's the author of the book, Tell Your Children the Truth About Marijuana. You may remember that. Caused quite a stir. And he's been on Fox and in other places, and I follow him on Twitter, and I'll ask him how you can follow him, too. Talking about some of the models that are out there, Brit Hume said this. He said that Alex Berenson is doing the same sort of data analysis that Michael Crichton did on climate alarmism when it comes to social distancing and the like that's out there, okay? And here's somebody who I think universally is a data guy, not wild-eyed at all, but the stuff I read over the weekend, man, he is in the center bullseye of several people. Let's bring him back to Philadelphia here on Talk Radio 1210. Alex, welcome back to the Tom Giordano Show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Don. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I found on Twitter, too, a doctor you recommended last night on Twitter or over the weekend, Dr. Trevor Bedford, who was a big SARS guy, Alex. And he talked in different data-driven terms about social distancing and the like. And I know you're a big data guy. So what do you make of the beef? I'm reading this Vanity Fair article that you now are seen as a Trojan horse, I guess, of misinformation.
I mean, I don't know what they're talking about. Everything that I post, and Twitter's are my main outlet right now, is sourced either to direct government data, whether that's from, you know, the U.S. or Iceland or Italy or somewhere else. You know, it's all websites that are posting information in English, usually, so people can read it, or to scientific papers, or, you know, in some cases to news outlets. Like, you know, if I post that a hospital in Oklahoma City has closed, which it did a couple days ago because it's empty, that's sourced to a news, outlet in Oklahoma City. I don't post misinformation. I don't make things up. Everything I post is generally I put the source on so people can go to the link themselves and see it themselves.
Well, the argument then is, of course, I'm not in the camp. I think what you're doing is there's got to be a role here against just panic consensus thinking, even though this is a serious, serious crisis. I think, though, they're saying, you know what, the house is on fire and you are not a team player in this by bringing up inconvenient truths or inconvenient facts. That seems to be it.
No, I'm not a team player. Half of that is right. I'm not a team player. And there are people in the media who hate me. It's quite clear. The other half is not correct. The house is not on fire. New York City has had a crisis, although even in New York City, the overflow capacity is almost empty. In the rest of the country, with the possible exception of New Orleans and Detroit, there is no crisis. In fact, I'm actually half wrong. There is a crisis, but the crisis is that hospitals are empty. And hospitals, because they're so expensive and have such huge staff, they're just hard to run, cannot stay empty for very long before they have to start laying people off, before they start losing tons of money. It is an absolutely bizarre situation that we're in, where we are in what is supposedly the worst pandemic since the Spanish flu, and hospitals are closing for lack of business. And I urge everybody to think about that.
Yeah, and we're going to tell people how they can follow you on Twitter, first of all, Alex.
Sure. So it's just my name. It's just Alex Berenson, you know.
Oh, yeah, at Alex Berenson.
I can spell it if you want. Yeah, just add Alex. It's Alexberenson.
Thank you for that. Now, but if Dr. Fauci were here, I think he would be challenging you on that. So what's your thought now of what's developing around Dr. Fauci? Is he saying what the media says he's saying, or something else?
No, look, here's what's important to recognize. The models didn't work.
Yes.
Okay, they didn't work at all. They didn't work because they overstated the surge that we were expecting to see 2 weeks ago and last week. That was even true in New York. The reason I first came to people's attention was I pointed out that the University of Washington model was in real time, not months and months in advance, In real time, it was overstating what was happening in New York by a factor of four, even though it had literally just been created and released. Okay, so we know now that the United States hospital system is not going to fail in the near future. So putting aside the question of what that says about if lockdowns actually worked or are meaningful, and that's a whole different debate and it's complicated to get into. The question is, if the point of the lockdowns was to keep the hospital system from collapsing, and the hospital system has not only not collapsed, but it's emptier than it was a month ago, what are we doing? Are we doing this now because we want zero cases and zero deaths from this virus,
okay,
which is what
I would challenge
said
you
a
because,
few weeks ago?
I would say to you, they would say, well, look, though, come on, Alex, this is a serious matter. You seem to have gone too far with this.
No one is saying it's not a serious matter. No one is saying this illness doesn't kill people, that it can't kill elderly people, especially. We don't shut down the country. We did HIV. Okay. HIV had a 100% fatality rate in the mid 80s. We didn't shut the country. We've never had an attitude before about any other illness that the only acceptable level is zero. I don't understand how we got there.
Okay. Now, reopening businesses, which I don't think the president is going to say that fully on May 1st. Does Alex Berenson say, though, we'd have to keep social distancing of some sort in play or no? What would be your standard as far as opening on May 1st or sometime after there?
Look, there are things we obviously should be doing. And, you know, we should be washing our hands. Some people, you know, if people feel ill, they should probably wear masks. I mean, this is what's happened in Japan. Japan has not had an outbreak. People have been predicting it for months. It hasn't happened. Should we be protecting centers for the elderly because those are the people who are most at risk here? Absolutely. Should there be fever checks probably for, you know, before anyone can enter? Should people who are working at, you know, nursing homes be checked for this on a regular basis? Absolutely. But right now, the biggest problem we have is not the coronavirus. It is what is happening to our economy and society. We are in the middle of the worst economic depression since the Great Depression. It may be worse than that, and I'm not exaggerating. We have put 16 million people out of work in 3 weeks, and the real number is probably considerably higher. The statistic that I quoted yesterday was that global oil demand has fallen 30% in a month. That has never happened before. The economic indicators on this don't exist. Okay, I mean, they are so much worse than anything we've ever seen in our lifetimes. That is what we need to be worried about right now.
Well, look, I agree. We have a better handle, is how I would put it. The models are better on what you just talked about than the modeling that's gone on with the coronavirus. I mean, it's obvious we can get those numbers pretty well, and I think you just stated that. What are you working on right now for listeners? You just mentioned a theme today, Alex, unprompted from you,
sure,
is the number of hospitals that are shutting down. I know some where they're cutting hours of people because there's nothing going on there. We're not overwhelmed with this. But what are you looking at right now?
So, you know, last week, so 2 weeks ago, I was very focused on the models and how they were breaking down in real time.
Right.
Last week, I was very focused on the hospital system and the fact that, you know, nationally, it was actually emptying out. And I think that case is now made. I'm going to continue to talk about it, but I don't think anyone can argue it right now. So the two things that I'm very interested in right now are, A, what is the effect of this on children, especially vulnerable children? Because children, you know, if you're autistic, for example, the routine of going to school every day that's been taken from you. If you're a child with an abusive, you know, home, it may be that a teacher is the only person, the only adult who's responsible, who's going to see you all day. So I'm very focused on children and families and the effect. And the other thing I'm very interested in right now is whether or not we're actually going to see protests this week. For example, in Michigan has about 10 million people in it. 260,000 people have joined a Facebook group called Michiganders Against Excessive Quarantine. That's 2% of the state's population. That group didn't even exist 2 weeks ago. So there have been some calls for protests. It'll be interesting to see if that actually happens. So those are, you know, but that's really what I'm focused on, because right now I don't think we can argue anymore about the models. The models failed, and the hospitals are outside New York City emptier than they were a month ago.
Absolutely. Alex, is your book in paperback now?
Yes, Tell Your Children is in paperback. And you know, I'd say one thing about Tell Your Children, which is, you know, Tell Your Children is a very data-driven book. And, you know, I wrote it because my wife, who's a psychiatrist, said, this is what I'm seeing. And when I looked at the studies that had been published in the best medical journals, they confirmed what she told me, that, you know, cannabis really is dangerous to psychiatric health. And the book was largely ignored by people in the media, not the pro-pot people. They obviously attacked it. But places like The Times or The Washington Post, they more or less ignored the book. It didn't get reviews. So I'm used to this dynamic now, and it doesn't really scare me or bother me. I go with what the data says. And if the data isn't matching up with what the, you know, people at The Times or The Washington Post are saying, it doesn't bother me if they attack me, as long as I'm following the facts.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. And I invite you back again. Good luck. Continued luck with the book. Next time around, we should revise that with people and talk a little bit more about it.
Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome. Alex Berenson here on Talk Radio 1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.